I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Have you ever known what it is to be hungry? Really hungry? The French have a proverb that goes something like, every good meal, or the best meal, starts with hunger. Have you ever seen up close people who haven't eaten for weeks? Or people who've eaten only a handful of grain each day for months? Maybe some of you have. The longest I can remember ever going without food was about 2 days. I've seen malnourished kids in a lot of tribal communities in the Philippines, but I've never seen what I've seen on TV about some of the hunger that happens in Africa and other parts of the world. They say in your average sort of general bookstore in Australia, the two best-selling sections are the cookbooks and the diet books, which gives us a pretty good image of our society in Australia. Half of us are looking to cook up a storm, and the other half are looking for strategies to dodge the next meal. But the majority of the world's population know hunger. More than a third of the people alive in the world today will experience a food crisis. That is, the absolute lack of food or acute malnutrition at some point in their lives. One third of the world's population. The likelihood of any of us being in that situation is remote, which I think puts us at a disadvantage when we come to try and understand what the gospel reading is saying. The words of Jesus when he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The experience for most people around at the time of Jesus was not so different from that of the majority of the world's population today. While most had a meal today, there were not too many who knew with any certainty that they would have a meal tomorrow. Just reflect for a moment on the petition in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. For those at the time of Jesus, such a prayer would have been very real. A prayer that asks for enough bread to see them through this day. Lord, if you'll be gracious enough to provide for us just this day, what's the use of asking for tomorrow if we cannot even be sure of this day? With our supermarkets, our weekly and monthly shopping schedules, our deep freezers, our refrigerators, and the one out in the garage, it becomes hard for us to feel the desperate plea for God, that God should provide for us this day. Hard too, maybe, to feel the same gratitude to God when we do make it through the day, without the fear of hunger consuming our every second thought. To those whose bellies groaned with the pain of hunger, to those who pleaded with God for enough bread for today, to those who didn't know where tomorrow's bread would come from, to those who really knew hunger, who really knew the value of bread, what must of Jesus' words have meant? I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. What must have it meant for Jesus to speak of himself as the living bread that came down from heaven? If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. For those who knew hunger, these must have been words that held out a promise beyond anything they knew or could imagine. Or maybe these were cruel words, making light of the life and death struggle for daily bread. making a ridiculous promise, holding out a fantasy or a dream to people who needed real solid food. I've always found it hard to read the Gospel of John, and especially to preach from the Gospel of John. The other Gospel writers, to me, have always presented a much more earthy, gutsy account of Jesus. In Mark and Luke, we're on the road with Jesus, and you almost taste the dust in your mouth as you travel along. We visit in people's homes. We sit in and listen to Jesus' sermons. We overhear the conversations that are happening at table. And Jesus talks much like most people would have talked, in common illustrations about the farmer, about conflicts in families, about seeds, about flowers. John, to me, always seemed to present a much more spiritual Jesus, a Jesus strangely detached from what was going on around him. A Jesus who spoke in words that did not always carry a straightforward meaning. But the lectionaries led us into almost 4 or 5 weeks of reflecting on these I am the bread of life passages from John. And as I've reflected them with the lectionary over the last weeks, I'm thinking John is gutsy. He is real. He's talking about bread and hunger and desperate need. I've come to see John in a whole new light. What could be more earthy, more gritsy, more gritty than Jesus turning to the hungry masses who is just fed and then describing himself as the bread of life, the living bread? Jesus reminds the people of the experience of the people of God in Israel. And it's no surprise because the people are grumbling. It would have prompted reflection on the grumbling of those grumbling Israelites coming out of Egypt. When God led them out of slavery in Egypt under the promise of entering into a new land, they're no sooner out of slavery and they begin to grumble against God and Moses. In Exodus 16:3, "We wish that the Lord had killed us in Egypt. There we could at least sit down and eat meat as much as other food as we wanted. But you've brought us out into this desert to starve us all to death." Rather than giving up on the people in disgust, we're told in Exodus that the Lord said to Moses, "Now I'm going to cause food to rain down from the sky for all of you." The people, in their grumbling desperation in a wilderness, and God doesn't throw a tantrum and get angry, but offers them food, bread from heaven. God has led his people out of slavery and set them on a road to the promised land. The barrenness of the desert is not going to have the final word, as God's people are defeated in their hunger. For God causes food, manna, to rain down from heaven. The people lived the natural term of their lives and died, we are told in Exodus. One of the people from the Iona community in Scotland has written a book called The One Loaf. It's a collection of prayers and reflections and poems and stories about the bread passages in the Bible. And when you begin to think of it, there's so many of them in the Old Testament and the New, where bread becomes such a central image. And there's one in here that reflects on the children of Israel and the Exodus experience. "Why?" we ask the children of Israel, wandering in the wilderness, questioning everything, complaining to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? We had plenty of bread there. Why did you bring us here to starve?" "What?" we ask. "What is all this about bread from heaven? Have you passed on our complaints? How can even God feed us here in this God-forsaken place?" We curse you, Moses. We accuse you. And we're asking God, why? When? We asked. When will we be fed? Between dusk and dark, meat to eat, and in the morning, bread in plenty. Why then? Why to us? Who will deliver the goods? What makes this time and place different from any other time, anywhere in the world where folk are starving? What is that? We asked. Seeing it lying white on the ground like frost in the first light. Take and eat, said Moses. And we did. And it was good. But what is it? That is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. And we called it, what is it? Manna. And we gathered as much as we could eat, enough to meet our needs. Why not, we asked, get more and save it for a hungry day. But when we did, it rotted away. And we, becoming wise, gathered just enough bread. For what? To give us strength for the journey. Where? That's another question. Bread is basic. We sometimes say it's the staff of life, it's the staple. In eating bread, we're back in touch with the basic stuff of life. The staff of life, as we call it. Food can get fancy, elaborate, but it never gets much better, certainly not more basic than bread. Unless maybe you're in Asia, where rice probably plays the same role. Jesus never ignores the physical hunger of the Galilean poor. More than in the other Gospels, in John's Gospel, the feeding of the multitude becomes not just Jesus' miracle, but it is, unlike in the other Gospels, it's presented as Jesus' initiative. It's not a response to a request, but Jesus sees the hunger of the people and he responds. Jesus breaks the bread and distributes it among the people, and they are filled. No sooner does the scene change and we see the multitude coming in search of Jesus again. The hunger is back. The physical hunger has returned. This time Jesus tells them that he is the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. When we're hungry, it's a reminder that we're creatures. We're animals who need nourishment or we die. But there's another kind of death among us. It's more than the death of the body. It is the death of our very being. The death that comes to us when we're apart from God. There's only one kind of nourishment that can forestall this death, and that is communion with God. How can we find nourishment in a God if it were not that God chooses, takes the initiative to come near to us and to feed us? I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any of you eat this bread, you will live forever. The bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live. Jesus promises that he is bread. He's the bread come down from heaven, just like the Israelites had manna in the wilderness to sustain them on the exodus from Egypt. Jesus says he is like that, bread come down from heaven to sustain us. What's your image of Jesus? For some of us, Jesus, we picture bloody and broken hanging on a cross. For others, a gentle person teaching and caring. For others, maybe the one enthroned on glory in heaven. Today, I want you to think of Jesus in the way he urges us here, as bread. He is that bread which satisfies you when nothing else can. You chew on him, bit by bit, taking your time, savouring every morsel. It's not dramatic, just life-giving. Take time to enjoy him, to let him become a part of your life, and thereby give you life. Today, Jesus bids us to think of him as bread, as a meal, as that daily, life-giving, sustaining presence that keeps us going. Jesus bids us to feed on him, to ingest him, bit by bit, to take his being into our lives, to let him nourish us unto life. I remember a retreat a number of years ago, and we were preparing for communion. And the retreat leader, before the communion, he asked us to reflect on our memories of a special meal that we shared in. And as I remember, people shared meals that had in exotic or dangerous places. Others shared fancy meals that were symbolised abundance. I can't remember what I shared, but probably about meals with special friends. There was one man on the retreat who must have been in his 50s, and he shared how his special meal was half a peanut butter sandwich. When he was 10 years old, he was on a camping trip with his family and he got lost in the Blue Mountains. He was missing for a number of days. The one thing he remembers was that when one of the rescue workers found him, he pulled out half a peanut butter sandwich and gave it to him. He said, "It was the most important meal of my life." Are we in that kind of desperate need to be fed by Jesus? I am the bread of life. In Christ Jesus, God has come in search of us. And in Christ Jesus, we're fed and nourished into life. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to feel the gnawing hunger within our being that desperately searches for you. And Lord, let us receive you with openness and desperation when you take the initiative and come into our lives. Feed us now, Lord, with your very own self. In Jesus' name.